They've watched Citizen Kane a combined 200 times. Elliot's first words were, "I personally thought the use of Dutch angles was derivative in the 400 blows." In Nathan's favorite historical figure is Fritz Lang. Now they're bringing that snootiness to you with Magellan's at the Movies.
Hello, welcome back to Magellan's at the Movies. I'm your host, Elliot Mogollyans. I tried to think of something funny to say about me, but I couldn't do it. I'm joined by my co-host, Nathan Mogollyans, and the chief technical expert of the program. Nathan, say hello.
Hey, everyone.
Great work. So, Nathan, I don't know how closely you've been following news and trailers and general press about Superman, the forthcoming film, but this movie is starting to concern me.
Oh no.
Mainly because the trailers have increasingly begun to paint a picture of a movie that is stuffed to the gills with characters and lore and questionable CGI, and apparently it's had a few test screenings, and this is not confirmed, so take this with a grain of salt, but reportedly the test screenings have been mixed to negative. So I don't know, has any of this been on your radar? Are you even interested in this movie in the first place? I feel like we've talked about this before, but I just forget things.
I am interested in the movie. I've said before that I prefer DC to Marvel personally, so I'm always
Jones at the Movies getting into the controversial topics.
Just personally, I feel like my favorite superhero stories have tended to be stories from DC and not stories from Marvel. That's not, I don't think that's really an indication of the quality of the characters so much as the quality of the people who have worked with them thus far. I mean, Nolan worked with DC. Who are we gonna put up against Nolan from the Marvel? John Favreau? I don't think so. But we've said since this movie was originally announced that James Gunn, a director most known for very irreverent, very immature, some would say, very tongue-in-cheek superhero movies, was maybe not the best person to have to direct a movie about the most earnest and Boy Scout comic book character. And I definitely think that the trailers, I agree with you, do seem to be showing a very overstuffed movie. I think the last I saw, the rumored runtime is close to 2.5 hours, if not over 2.5 hours, which is that's a long superhero movie. Although I will say, the original Christopher Reeves Superman movie was also like 2.5 hours long. So there's a tradition there. And I don't pay a lot of attention to these pre-release buzz things, because historically, they've been very hit or miss. I've seen stuff that, like, Gravity, the Alfonso Cuarón movie that was nominated for Best Picture and won a host of different Oscars for technical things, tested a
bit. Did you just say Cuarón?
Whatever it is, Alfonso Cuarón. Cuarón?
There you go.
It tested very poorly, and then it came out, and obviously it was beloved by people. Like, it was a huge hit. So I don't think test screening should really be taken with anything other than a giant helping of salt. I'm still excited for the movie. I'm probably going to try and convince my wife to go to it with me, because I love going to the movies, and she likes eating movie theater popcorn. So every time we can bring those interests, into Unity, it's a really good time for us. But yeah, my expectations are not very high for this movie. I guess I'll say that.
You should raid movie theater dumpsters like our old youth pastor used to do for movie nights. Just that's a true story, by the way.
I don't remember him doing that.
Oh, I'm pretty sure that's what he did.
Dewey or just, Jeremy?
Jeremy.
Oh, that checks out.
Would just pull bags of discarded popcorn out of the dumpster outside Fridley. But anyway, we're not here to discredit the good name of an innocent youth pastor.
Yeah.
No, I was thinking, it's interesting, my level of concern about this movie has kind of revealed to me that I really want this movie to be good. I really want this movie to succeed because I like Superman. I mean, who doesn't like Superman? Honestly, he's just a nice guy. He represents the best in all of us. And I also have a more forward-looking interest in DC succeeding, DC movie succeeding, because I've been recently going through my very humble collection of Batman comics, and I was just struck how we've never gotten on screen a good distillation of the relationship between Superman and Batman, which I have always found immensely compelling because, of course, they have such different personalities and they come from very different worlds, but they have the same ultimate goals, they have the same intentions, and it's just created a lot of really interesting character moments throughout the history of the DC universe. So it's just one of those things that as a consumer of a universe, a fan of a universe, there are just those little things, right, that you want to see. That there are little things that you latch onto in books and whatever, and you just want to see it realized on screen in adaptation, or anywhere, and it's wherever adaptations may show up.
No, I agree. We have yet to get a really good DC universe in general on the big screen. I mean, if you want to watch a good DC universe thing, there's plenty of TV shows and animated movies that have done a pretty bang up job, I would say, of adapting a lot of the best DC sort of material. But we've never really seen a very good Justice League. There's moments in the Snyder Justice League stuff where I think I could generously say it's not terrible, but there's no moments in it that are on par with the best of the stuff in other things. So I agree. And I don't want ever to see people fail. I want to see some people fail who are like doing harm in the world. I don't want them to succeed.
Why don't you go ahead and name those people, Nathan?
I'm not. We're all thinking of someone. I don't have to name names. But certainly in artistic pursuits, I never want to see an artist fail to bring something that they find important or meaningful enough to make a whole movie about that. I want that person to succeed, and I want it to do well. And so this is the same thing. I want to see DC do well, because I'm not a psychopath. I don't want people to fail just for the sake of watching them fail. So hopefully the movie turns out to be okay or good, but we'll see. I think it's it's looking like it's more and more going to be a long shot for that to be true.
I just want to say that sometimes artists do have harmful ideas that I think should probably be left on the drawing board.
Yeah, I think, give me a second to get his name. Birth of a Nation. D.W. Griffith. I would have loved...
You were going to say Goebbels or Goebbels.
Sure. Well, if I could remember the name of the director of Triumph of the Will, I would certainly say I would have hoped that she would have failed in what she did, but I can't recall her name right now. So D.W. Griffith is the person that I think maybe could have helped us all by not inventing the cinematic language as we know it today.
I don't know. Roger Ebert really likes that movie.
It's because it's important to film history. Anyway, we're not reviewing Birth of a Nation here. It's unlikely we'll ever review Birth of a Nation here. Today, Elliot, we're reviewing Predator. We're going to a classic. In case you're unaware, there's a new Predator movie coming out, I believe, this year. And there's already a new...
Fact check.
Oh, gosh, dang it.
You are correct.
Oh, thank goodness, thank goodness. And there's already a new Predator movie out right now on Hulu. They have a new animated Predator movie that I hear is very good. I'd love to get around to watch it someday because I did enjoy Prey, the newest Predator movie that came out a couple years ago. But I thought, what better time than now to go back to the original Predator? I have never seen this, so I was very interested to go back to the beginning. It's a classic of action movie cinema. It's a classic Arnie movie. I'm excited to talk about this. Elliot, why don't you kick us off with your experience with this movie and maybe some opening thoughts?
Sure. So I first watched this movie, like a lot of movies, in high school. I watched this by myself, of my own volition. I can't remember why. It was just a time when what I watched was determined by, is it famous enough that I feel left out not having an opinion about it, which is how I ended up in front of Predator.
Nice.
And I enjoyed it. If you cast your mind way back to the beginning, not the beginning, but very early in the history of this podcast, I actually recommended Predator for Nope, which is interesting. I'm not 100% sure I would do that again. But anyway, yeah, that was the only time I'd ever seen it before today. And I always remembered liking it because I try to avoid recommending movies that I don't like. And yeah, I don't really have a whole lot to say, honestly. I just thought that it was good. Not something that I loved, but certainly something that I enjoyed. And Arnold Schwarzenegger says the funny lines sometimes. And also, the Predator itself looks awesome. Thank you to... Isn't it Stan Winston behind this?
Holy cow. Is it? We'll get a fact check on that.
Fact check.
Yeah, continue talking while I check that. That would be crazy if true.
Maybe I'm just completely off my rocker. But anyway, yeah, so... I never liked it enough that I was like... I never got struck by a hankering to rewatch it. And this time around, I would say that my opinion is mostly unchanged. I think that this movie's pretty good. I think that it definitely ends a lot stronger than it begins. Mm. Because it starts with it starts as very much a traditional action movie where just a bunch of military dudes are in the jungle shooting at people in an unnamed country in South America. There's Russians there. Why? I don't know. I guess they're Soviet agents safeguarding the revolution worldwide. But yeah, I really enjoy the buildup to the Predator itself. I feel like I've talked a lot on this podcast about my appreciation for movies that let you anticipate things before they actually show you them. So rather than just immediately getting to the good stuff, letting you get ready for the good stuff, which I think is the better, which I think this movie does very well. And by the time they leave, by the time they are in the jungle trying to get to the extraction point, I think from then on, the movie gets way better because it really leans into that tension, that the horror that we all recognized or should have recognized from Jaws, that the thing that you can't see or that you can only glimpse occasionally is often a lot more effective than the thing that you have a perfect understanding of that you're seeing constantly. And in general, I just think that the action scenes are good. The acting is mostly frowny faces, which is for the best. And yeah, I think that it ends on a strong note. And by the time the credits rolled, and those goofy soap opera credits where they're looking at the camera and smiling and laughing, I was satisfied.
Yeah, I fully agree with everything you said. This is kind of a hard movie for me to review somewhat because I feel like the movie is so iconic that watching it, it was tough for the movie to really suck me in because I knew all of these beats. Like, I've seen this in trailers, in montages. I've seen bits and pieces of this movie in so many different forms that seeing it in its entirety was a different experience than if I went to the theater in 1987 and saw it for the first time, because I'm sure it would have really blown my mind. It's a fantastic premise for the movie. I was really struck by how much the movie leans into slasher sort of motifs. I mean, even just starting with the classic POV shot of the villain, and in this case, it's the POV shot of the alien, so it's done in like heat scan, which becomes relevant later in the movie. And I mean, that's such a great little detail. I mean, it's not a little detail, it's a huge chunk of the movie, but it's such a great piece of filmmaking that they're blending genres in a way that I think it's hard to appreciate now that the movie exists. It's hard to go back and be like, wow, this was really clever. Yeah, like you said, the movie starts out as a classic roided up action movie and then turns into, right, what if Rambo was being hunted by an alien? That's a great premise for a movie, and I think the movie definitely pays off on that premise. So I enjoyed the movie quite a bit, and I think it definitely deserves its place in the pantheon of science fiction movies, of action movies from the 80s.
Okay. Are you going to say, did you find anything out about Stan Winston?
Yeah. I did find it. Thank you for reminding me. Yes, Stan Winston was involved in the design of the Predator.
Nice.
So what's better, the design of the Predator or that one guy in the cantina scene that Stan just gave a like discount werewolf mask to? Which is the better costume?
That's a tough question.
You could also compare it to the Authority.
I'm going to have to go with Werewolf Man, I think.
Anyway, let's maybe start by talking about this opening of the movie, because I agree with you that this is kind of the weakest part of the movie, and for me it was partially because there's too many dang people in this team, and I was so thankful once they started dying because I could not keep them straight and I couldn't tell their personalities apart enough to get very invested in any of them besides Dutch and Dylan, who were kind of the primary foils of this opening section. But all this opening section convinced me of is that I don't think I would enjoy watching any of the Rambos, except for maybe the first one, the entire time that they're infiltrating, I'm using quotes here, you can't see it, but hopefully you can hear in my voice, infiltrating the base. I was like, there's no way this is the best way to go about doing it. Like, they basically just go in and shoot everyone. How is that the best method to do this thing? It's a big complex. Surely you're going to be outgunned. they're not concerned about that. But you already said that you didn't really like this opening section, but what about it didn't you like?
Well, I did not enjoy the infiltration, which was helped massively by the fact that the sentries of this camp were actually facing their camp rather than looking out to where threats might be coming from, which kind of defeats the purpose of being a sentry. If you're just looking at the thing you're supposed to be guarding, then you're just admiring it from a distance. It's very sloppy. Because mostly what it is the least interesting way of filming action, which is a shot of a gun being fired, and then a shot of a person being hit with no connective tissue between those two shots. Like, they could be shooting someone right next to them, or 100 feet away, or on the other side of the world, because the camera work is always so tight in, and there's never really any sense of geography or where they are or what even their plan is, aside from cause mayhem. Yeah, so I don't like that. I don't understand this. I don't understand this setup in a lot of ways, because the U.S. military hires mercenaries to go do something that I guess they can't have the CIA do. And they want Dutch and his fellas. What are they called? Do they have a name?
I think it's just Dutch's team. I don't remember them using a name.
Well, they want them to save a guy, an important guy, who has been shot down in enemy territory. And it's revealed pretty quickly that actually they're there to destroy this camp that they stumble on because it's controlled by communists. They don't say that, but I mean, I don't know if everyone knows what's happening here. Which, there's literally no way for them to keep that ruse going. Because, of course, the instant they realize that there's no one there, that they're just there to destroy the camp, I mean, what are you supposed to do?
Well, and I don't get the sense that Carl Weathers' character, Dylan, was really planning on having the ruse be kept. He wanted them to get in, destroy the camp, and then if they found out that the plan was a ruse, he was fine with that, is the sense that I kind of got from it.
Well, I guess my question is, why do they need an outside force to do this?
Because they're the best, Elliot. No one else could have done it. No one else could have run into a camp and shot everyone.
That's true. They have a very particular set of skills.
Yeah.
It is also true that the CIA's general strategic approach and tactical efficiency is like that of Wile E. Coyote. So maybe they just didn't trust themselves.
Yeah.
Maybe they thought, we can't get all of these gorillas to smoke an exploding cigar, so we're just going to have to get the mercenaries to do it.
Yeah. But I very strongly agree. You took the words right out of my mouth that I was going to say. That the geography of this scene is what really ruins the action for me. That it's, I don't have any sense of where characters are as they're invading this camp. I don't have any sense of their progress, of what their end goal is. It does genuinely seem like their goal is just shoot everyone who shows up, which is kind of how I play, like, Call of Duty maps, but I'd like to think that that's not the strategy employed by professional mercenaries, because hopefully they'd be facing people who aren't on novice difficulty, but I guess not. And, yeah, a lot of the reasons that you said that it's kind of a confusing setup, and I can see the vision, right, that they're trying to generate some amount of emotion between Dylan and Dutch, and there's implications of history between the two of them that kind of come to a boil, but again, that's not what I think this movie is doing well. So it's really, again, this movie shines as soon as it starts killing these characters I don't care about, and it starts just being about big, muscly guys being hunted by an alien in the forest. I mean, that's where this thing really comes alive, in my opinion.
Well, one more thing. I don't see how destroying a single command post equates to the Soviets are going to pull back their support, or the invasion just isn't going to go forward. Unless, like, the entire rebel leadership was at this one camp, in which case I think the invasion was probably going to go pretty poorly either way. But yeah, I agree. This opening is when the Predator is least present. Because even after this, there's a period of them just walking through the jungle and not a whole lot is happening. But from here on out, we get more and more shots from the Predator's POV. It's called a Yautja, by the way.
A what?
Or that's the name of the species, is Yautja.
Oh, great, Elliot. That's good to know.
So the Yautja, you start to learn more about kind of its abilities. I really like the whole thing of it repeating just phrases and sounds that it hears. It hears all these people make, just because that it's such a strange thing to do. I don't know. It just really contributes to the alienness of it. That it implies a level of interest in the sounds that it's hearing. But yeah, I think that the more the Yautja is present and the fewer one-dimensional characters I have to keep track of, the better this movie is. And the characters are very one-dimensional. Like, this is a group of red shirts.
Yeah.
With very little set dressing to try to convince you that they're actual people. I mean, Mac kind of has a friendship with the cowboy hat guy, but they spend, like, 2 minutes of screen time together, so that's not really something that I find particularly compelling. Arnold Schwarzenegger is trying, and I appreciate that, and no disrespect to the man. I think he's a nice guy. He seems very sincere, but man, some of these line readings are pretty rocky. And speaking of Rocky, I think my favorite character was probably Dylan, because he had the closest thing to an actual arc, and the closest thing to actual conflict. That's conflict that's not purely external, because he's not one of these guys, and of course he's sort of pulling the wool over their eyes. And Carl Weathers actually did a really good job, I felt. Like, the scene where Dutch realizes that he's been played and he slams him up against the wall, him being Dylan, and he's yelling at him and Dylan is trying to defend himself, I felt like I got a really good sense of the shallowness of Dylan's defense, that he felt guilty. He felt a lot guiltier than he was saying. So props to him, and thank you for being the only character with some real conflict, which it's not lethal that nobody else really has that. Dutch is fine. I appreciate his deep principles. It's little stuff like that can go a long way, I feel, in giving a character, if not depth, at least texture, which does successfully carry him through the rest of the movie. But yeah, the rest of these guys, like the guy who's telling dirty jokes, what a loss he was.
Really, like, similar vein dirty joke. Like, both jokes are about the same premise, which it feels like he's working on his stand-up, and he does them both unprompted. Like, no one else is telling jokes. He's just like your two-year-old when they've just learned how to tell jokes. Maybe two is a little young for that. I don't know how
dang.
Old. Your five-year-old when they just started learning jokes, and they're like, hey, knock, knock. Who's there? Interrupting cat. Like, that sort of thing. But with jokes about girlfriends.
Oh, my gosh. One more thing. Just on speaking of bad acting, the guy who plays Billy is very poor. And there was actually a moment that I burst out laughing because one of the characters, I think his name is Poncho, is talking to him. And Billy says, I'm scared, Poncho, in the flattest, most monotone voice that the human vocal cords are capable of producing. And of course, he's got this blank death mask expression on his face. So he's like, I'm scared, Poncho. Which...
That's how scared he is, Elliot. He had all the emotions sucked out of him.
Of course. That's what happens to me whenever I get scared. Actually, I start throwing up when I get scared.
Wow, thank you for sharing that.
You're so welcome. Anyway, Nathan, you say some words.
Yeah, I agree. You keep talking before me and stealing all my lines. I completely agree. I think all of these characters are pretty one-dimensional. I think the star of the show is certainly the Yautja, the
Yautja.
Predator. Yeah, okay. I mean, this is, firstly, that shot at the end when it takes off its mask, that's crazy. I don't understand how they did that practically, because it looks fantastic. I was assuming it was going to be a puppet or some sort of... I know it's a guy in a suit for scenes where it's, like, moving around, but holy cow, how did they make it look that good? I mean, there's not even a hint. If you've watched, like, old Star Treks, and you watch, like, Worf or someone like that, you can kind of tell that it's just a person under a lot of makeup or a person with, like, a funky head thing. The Predator looks like an alien. It's incredibly convincing. And, yeah, like you already mentioned, the Predator and the Predator's kind of tics and the way it operates are just so fantastically conveyed. Like, the mimicking of the sounds that it's hearing, the way it's going about things, the way that Dutch learns how things that he has to do in order to avoid being killed by it in that final sequence. It's just so fantastic. And when the movie finally just becomes Dutch versus the Predator, it's fantastic. And everything about it is so perfect. Like, it's nighttime, the Predator is shooting at everything, so he's starting fires everywhere. I mean, it looks apocalyptic. It's fantastic in terms of setting the tone of this, you know, let's be honest, fairly pitiful sort of final stand that Dutch does. The Predator takes off all of his stuff, and we get a sense that this is it. It's going to be mano a mano, and yeah, Dutch gets absolutely bodied by this thing. It's not even close
that
to a competition.
That is not fantastic.
Yeah, but again, everything else in the movie will have you completely ignore the fact that you're just watching Arnold Schwarzenegger get absolutely destroyed by the best-looking alien you've probably ever seen in your life up to this point. The Predator is a fantastic villain. It's so well done in this movie, and yeah, it's the star of the show. It's the titular character.
That's true. Although it would be... It would be better if the... Do you think the movie would be better or worse if it was called Yautja?
It would be worse, Elliot. It would be a lot worse.
I happen to disagree. But yes, I do agree with the sentiment expressed about the Yautja itself. It's... I mean, it looks awesome. This is such a cool design. I would, and I know that it's traditionally a bad omen when you put a predator and a xenomorph together, but I would put it in the xenomorph tier of fantastic alien designs and alien threats. The scene that I was thinking that really made me sit up and go like, dang, this is an impressive prosthetic or motorized puppet or whatever, is at like the very end of the little tussle between Dutch and the predator. When Dutch is doing his thing of like, I'm here, kill me, kill me. That's a great Arnold impression. and it sort of crouches underneath a spiked trap that Dutch had set up. And it kind of tilts its head up and discovers the... And just looks at the trap. And there's maybe I'm just projecting, I don't know, but it seemed to me that there was so much actual emotive consideration on its face. Like it kind of raised an eyebrow, or it doesn't really have eyebrows, but it made an inquisitive facial expression, and it sort of like did that thing, right, where you like roll something in between your fingers a little bit. So it's a combination of the actor in the suit, and let's find out who that is.
Oh, good grief.
Because it used to be, wasn't it Van Damme?
It was originally Jean-Claude Van Damme, yes. And then they redesigned the Yautja, and according to IMDb, Stan Winston was uncredited his work on the Predator design, so it's possible he was brought in after they scrapped the like lobster looking thing that I've seen before.
Really? Because it says here that Stan Winston got an Oscar nomination for this movie.
What? IMDb's lying. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah. Stan Winston was nominated for an Oscar for Predator in the Best Visual Effects category.
Interesting.
But anyway, it's what we're actually talking about is Kevin Peter Hall. He's the man in the suit. So great job to him, and great job to Stan Winston and the team for creating an antagonist that feels alien. And yet, there are these moments of clear characterization that shine through. Yeah. And I just love that kind of thing. That's why Doom 2016 is so much better than all of the other Doom reboot games. Because Doom Guy actually has subtle characterization in that game.
That's
I just
true.
Played Doom the Dark Ages. I didn't like it very much.
Oh man, that's a bummer. That's too bad. I mean, I didn't like the second Doom game, whatever that one was called.
Doom Eternal.
Yeah, sure. Doom Stupid. Anyway, we're not here to talk about Doom. thank you. That's kind of the bulk of what I have to say about this movie. This is it's an interesting movie because it's so simple, and I think that's part of the reason why it's probably stood the test of time, because it's not trying to do much else beyond put some action movie people in a forest and then kill them with an alien, a Yautja, if you will. But, like, that's all there is to the movie. Like, the parts that it's just an action movie, not great. As soon as the alien shows up, it's really good. There's some good cinematography in here. The one shot of the Yautja pulling the guy's skull and spine, which I, you know, scientists can fact check me on this. I don't think your skull is attached to the spine in such a fashion that it can just be ripped out like that. But I could be wrong. But that shot is very, it's a great shot. Like I already said, that entire final sequence is shot so well that it's kind of frustrating how poorly shot that opening sort of sequence is. And I do think the movie is a little... I get what you're saying about the Jaws comparison, that the thing that you see very rarely is probably the best thing. It was a little frustrating, maybe not frustrating, but I was a little surprised that they didn't show anything of Pancho fighting the Yautja, because they made a really big deal about him stopping on this log bridge and, you know, taking off his shirt and doing all this stuff to get ready.
That's Billy.
What? Who's... Oh, okay. My bad, my bad.
Whoa. Whoa. You just made... Oh, that's a bit of a faux pas.
I can't remember. Again, I can't tell these characters apart. They didn't say their names enough for me to remember who.
Wow. Pancho. Why did you think the Native American character was named Pancho, Nathan?
It's a name that sounds more Native American. I feel like I'm not going to be... You know, sue me. It sounds more... Anyway. Billy. When Billy is getting ready to fight the Yautja. I was kind of surprised that they didn't show any of it. But I guess... I mean, they had to save it for when Dutch is the person finally fighting it. But do you have any other sort of comments or things that you wanted to talk about?
Well, I kind of assumed that the fight... just didn't go very well for Billy, and it was over fairly quickly. I think that the movie gets better as it goes along, and I think that a lot of that is because the movie's already very lean. Mm. Like, there's very little fat on it, so the fat on it that does exist, like this whole thing with the gorillas and the command post, just kind of stands out all the more. And the leaner it gets, the simpler it gets, the more primal it gets. I mean, Dutch is making tools out of wood and stone and fighting shirtless. It gets like full-on Conan the Barbarian.
Wow. Arnie reference.
That's true. That's where the movie is at its strongest. And so for all the complaints that I do have about the beginning is relatively minor in comparison with the rest of the movie. And complaints that I have about the flatness of the characters, they're not really there for that long. And they die in satisfyingly violent ways.
Mm.
So, yeah, I think that the pros more than outweigh the negatives. And while I personally wouldn't put this in, like, the classic tier of 80s action movies, although I haven't seen that many, I can absolutely see why other people do. Because at the end of the day, it's just cool. It's a cool premise. Mm. Alien, what if... The most dangerous game, but aliens.
Wow, so true. All right, well then, let's get to ratings here. I see no reason to pause on this.
Get the gunpowder treason?
What?
You said, I see no reason to. So I said, forget the gunpowder. Haven't you heard that rhyme?
Are you talking about the remember the...
Yeah, I see no reason the gunpowder treason should ever be forgot.
Holy cow. We're going to lose our audience if you keep making such out-of-touch, old-fashioned references, Elliot.
Out-of-touch? Doesn't the UK have a holiday for that?
Guy Fawkes Day, yes, I do believe that they have a holiday. Anyway, to review this movie and give it a numerical rating... I would say I really like this movie. I think the opening is a little subpar, but the opening only lasts so long. And once it is not the opening, it's really good. It's a great slasher, pseudo action movie, and it delivers on the premise in spades in the finale. I'm gonna give it a 7.5 out of 10.
Yeah, I'm gonna give this an alphabetical rating. I think that this movie has its problems, but I'm not gonna repeat myself. This is a good movie. It's very solid. You know what? What the heck? I'll give it a B+.
Whoa! Wow. So fun. Well, that brings us to recommendations.
So fun.
And, Elliot, I'm going to go in a slightly different direction than what I originally told you. Instead of doing the movie I had originally suggested, I'm going to recommend Aliens, which we've talked about the Alien franchise a couple of times on this podcast. Aliens is probably my favorite movie in the Alien franchise. I think it's turned into action horror.
When we reviewed Alien, you ranked Aliens as your second favorite.
Oh, behind Alien?
Yeah.
Well, they're in a close battle. They're both very good movies. But I think the turn to more action-heavy sort of things in Aliens is a great turn. I think it very much puts it in the same camp as Predator as an action horror movie staple. I think it's another movie that ends with a fantastic, if slightly less convincing, final duel between the protagonist and the big major villain. And yeah, it's really great. I mean, I shouldn't have to convince you to watch Aliens. It's a classic up there with Predator in terms of, you know, the pantheon of these sorts of 80s movies. But yeah, my recommendation is going to be Aliens. If you've never gotten around to watching it, you definitely should.
I second that recommendation. I enjoy Aliens. Probably a bit less than your average Aliens viewer, but definitely a very strong movie. Definitely worth watching. My recommendation might be a little bit not clear why I'm choosing it, but I am going with a little movie called Overlord. So this is a J.J. Abrams produced, I can't remember the name of the guy who directed it, but this is a movie, an alternate history movie about a bunch of American GIs in World War II who encounter Nazi zombies. The Nazis have been experimenting with some kind of magical goo and have created zombies. And I chose this both for the steady, gradual buildup of tension of knowing that there is a threat out there, but not knowing precisely the nature of that threat, and things getting very tense, until the big reveal of the threat itself. And also for that the core of a group of people, in this case soldiers, coming up against something that they don't understand, that's very much beyond their usual skill set, getting whittled down until that final confrontation where, well, I won't spoil what happens, but yeah, so a lot of similar genre stylings, action, horror, bit of science fiction, and a movie that did pretty well for itself, but not something that I see talked about very often. So yeah, if it passed you by and you like Predator, I think there's a decent chance that you would enjoy Overlord.
I'd give that a strong second. Not necessarily because I love the movie, because I think that's a fantastic pairing with Predator, and I hadn't even thought about that movie, but that's so true. It's definitely a movie that if you have watched it, unless you really hated it for some reason, which I'd be kind of surprised by. It's a movie that you'd maybe be surprised how little people talk about it, because it's a fun premise, and I think it does the premise justice for sure.
Yeah, there's a particularly, because Nathan and I watched this movie together,
yeah,
and there's a particularly unpleasant shot of someone's head leaning further back than is anatomically comfortable that stayed with me all these many years later. But you know what they say, and by they I mean me, I say life is hard and full of disappointments.
Yeah, but hopefully one of those disappointments is never the Magellans at the Movies podcast, the premier movie reviewing podcast in the Midwest and in Central America as a whole. Absolutely. Central, like U.S. America. I don't want to say that we're like the biggest podcast in Guatemala or something like that.
I mean, we probably are.
We might be. I don't know. But anyway, you know, we are always very open to receive requests, feedback. We receive these things via our email. It's in the description. If you have an opinion on our review that we shared today, if you love Predator and think we missed something, if you hate Predator and think we missed something, send us an email. We love to hear from the fans. If you have a movie that you would love to hear us talk about, or just a movie topic that you would love to hear us talk about, send it in. Sometimes we're kind of suffering for or hurting for some banter, so send those in. Otherwise, next week we're going to be back. We've got another movie that we're going to be reviewing. Very excited for it. Look forward to that. And in between, we hope you have a great week.